This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation, November 21st, 2018. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, a break from it all. It's late November in what has so far been a tumultuous fall, with epic fires still burning in California and a momentous election that gripped the entire country having just concluded. Exactly 6 years ago, we had just experienced another tumultuous fall. Hurricane Sandy had upended the East Coast, and the 2012 election had just concluded. Then, as now, we were gathering for Thanksgiving, and the break in routine put a lot of us in a thoughtful, meditative mood. In other words, a perfect mood for taking in poetry. Back in 2012, I had asked the poet and translator Idra Novi to look through the poems at our website and choose a few to read that reflected her mood and the mood of the season. Here, once again, is that conversation. Idra, none of the poems that you chose are explicitly about Thanksgiving. So give us a sense of what you were looking for as you prowled through the archives.
Well, I enjoy attending Thanksgiving, but dread it until it happens. So I was looking for poems about family and food, but that perhaps reflected my own mixed feelings about getting together with family and the often dramatic things that are said or unsaid at the table.
Yeah.
And I love this poem, Family, by Josephine Miles, for the discussion of family and food, and but also because it's about drowning. And I think in the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy.
Yeah, we have been swamped here. Yeah,
yeah, and people have drowned. Yeah, and, and so I think that maybe just the notion of being killed by an excess of water when you live in a place that was recently flooded, not my neighborhood, but nearby.
Yeah. Drowning and Thanksgiving.
Also, I think there is a feeling that you can get in over your head at Thanksgiving.
Yes.
So maybe there is a bit of drowning in family history, drowning in relatives.
Yeah.
So I think I was thinking of it both in the hurricane literal sense and also in the Thanksgiving metaphorical sense as well.
So let's get to the poem. We actually have a recording of this one. Anything you want to say about Josephine Miles, who I believe died in the 1980s? Anything you want to say about this poem?
In her poems, all of them, she has an interesting way of breaking the lines. I think she's very good at using a jam and line breaks to set up surprise in her poems.
Okay, this is Josephine Miles reading Family.
About drowning. When you swim in the surf off Seal Rocks, and your family sits in the sand eating potato salad, and the undertow comes, which takes you out, away, down to loss of breath, loss of play, and the power of play, holler, say, help, help, help. Hello, they will say, come back here for some potato salad. It is then that a 17-year-old cub cruising in a helicopter from Antigua, a jackstraw expert speaking only Swedish, and remote from this area as a camel, says, look down there, there's somebody drowning, and it is you. You say, yes, yes, and he throws you a line. And this is what is called the brotherhood of man.
The narrative in the poem is somebody is drowning and is rescued. And it's rather bizarre what happens along the way, because there's this jackstraw expert speaking only Swedish and remote from this area as a camel. It's rather
hilarious.
And then she is saved. And saved grandly in that grand last line, this is what is called the brotherhood of man.
It is a grand last line. And we often talk about the brotherhood of Thanksgiving, and yet, you know, I think that's also become a little passé to talk about Thanksgiving as this beautiful sharing of bread and food between the Native Americans and the pilgrims, that increasingly we all question whether that's the narrative that should be taught to our children at school. And this poem is also poking fun at the brotherhood of man and why we use that phrase and to mean what exactly.
Do you think it's poking fun at it? I actually took it as sincere, where the speaker in the poem comes up from a near-death experience and is grateful to be back among human company again.
Yes, but there's still the family.
Yeah.
There is still the family.
With their potato salad.
With the potato salad, who are also part of the brotherhood of man. So yes, I think the word brotherhood is a little cheeky
in that
she's saved by a fellow human,
right,
and that's the brotherhood of man, and the family who refuses to stop shoveling potato salad onto your plate is also your brotherhood.
Help, help, help. Hello, they will say. Come back here for some potato salad.
That's not what you need at that moment, I think.
No, that's sort of how help comes in family sometimes, yeah. Right? You want to get out of the ocean and they want you to eat the store-bought potato salad.
Yeah. So that was Family by Josephine Miles. Now let's move to another poem that doesn't involve drowning this time, but this one involves eating as well. It's called In the Middle of Dinner by Chris Abani. Now, the only thing I know about Chris Abani, he's a novelist and a poet from Nigeria. Anything you want to say about this poem before you read it?
It seems to me a novelist's poem in a way, because the impulse in it seems more of a storyteller's impulse than a poet who is predominantly preoccupied with language.
Let's hear it. It's very short. It's called In the Middle of Dinner by Chris Abani.
My mother put down her knife and fork, pulled her wedding ring from its groove, placing it contemplatively on her middle finger. So natural was the move, so tender, I almost didn't notice. 5 years, she said, 5 years, once a week, I wrote a letter to your father and waited until time was like ash on my tongue. Not one letter back, not a single note. She sighed, smiling, the weight gone. This prime rib is really tender, isn't it? She asked.
And that last line is what gives the poem its punch. There's a deeply moving moment, and then she turns to the food and makes a almost mundane comment.
But I think that's why we often blurt out large dramatic declarations over food, because the ritual of eating gives you an escape. And you can make your declaration and then talk about the prime rib again.
Yeah.
Because if you say
it, gives you something to go back to.
To go back to. Because if you're in the car, you can be like, I think we missed our exit. But but I think something about the ritual of the meal is, in some ways, a convenient, though dramatic place to make that kind of declaration. It always happens at family meals that someone will blurt out something. I know, you know, when I was pregnant with one of my sons, I was like, well, I'll wait and tell everyone at Thanksgiving, because that seemed like the proper place to make a large declaration. Somebody always had something to say at every meal. And then you could sort of get over it and go back to the meal.
And congratulations and pass the salt.
Exactly. More stuffing, please. Or more potato salad, as Josephine Miles talks about in her poem. And so I wonder if that's why it seems like a safer, though dramatic, place to make a confession of a change in your life is at the table over food.
Now, this poem, the little I know about Chris Abani, this is not about a father who was probably just absent from the family for whatever reason. The suggestion is that he's absent for political reasons.
There's a lot of the unknown in this. There's no condemnation of the father.
Yeah.
It's more a condemnation of the lack of information.
Yeah.
And so the taking the ring off seemed more about not knowing than about a disappointment with the father.
Right.
Just that she just hasn't known anything for a long time and she can't wait. But that there is, as you said, the implication that his absence may not be his own doing.
Not one letter back, not a single note. She sighed, smiling, the weight gone, as if she said something very important.
That she's ready to move on.
Yeah, it's
not an abandonment poem and an angry poem.
Yeah.
It's a resignation.
Right. And that prime rib is very tender.
Yeah, indeed. And also, it's interesting, she uses the word tender twice.
Right.
The move that she makes with the ring is tender.
Yeah,
and
so
the
natural
prime rib is tender. So the repetition of that word, when there are so few words in a poem, would stand out in a way that it probably wouldn't in a piece of fiction.
Okay, next poem. It's called The Children by Mark Jarman. Why did you choose this one?
Well, as much as I've been going on about the difficulties of being with family and the things that they say and that you say or that nobody says, I do love Thanksgiving for the memories I have of it as a child, that we always played under my aunt's table. And now I get to watch my older son play under the same table in the same living room. And something about the continuity of that is fraught and charged, but beautiful to me. And I'm already looking forward to when my younger son is big enough to play under the table too. Hmm. And something about that cycle of the next generation playing under the table makes it all worth it.
Mm-hmm. And this is about children playing.
And hiding. It's a poem about children hiding.
Okay, go ahead and read it.
The children are hiding among the raspberry canes. They look big to one another, the garden small. Already in their mouths, this soft fruit that lasts so briefly in the supermarket tastes like the past. The gritty wall behind the veil of leaves is hollow. There are yellow wasps inside it. The children know. They know the wall is hard, although it hums. They know a lot and will not forget it soon. When did we forget? But we were never children. Never found where they were hiding and hid with them. Never followed the wasp down into its nest with a fingertip that still tingles. We lie in bed at night thinking about the future, always the future, always forgetting that it will be the past, hard and hollow, veiled and humming, soon enough.
The action in the story is these kids are in a garden playing, and there's a wall, a garden wall perhaps, and there's a wasp nest in the garden wall that they put their fingers down and get stung and have fun with it. But what's odd about this poem is this phrase, but we were never children.
And he makes all of these false declarations. We were never children, but we were. Mm. We were never found where they were hiding, but we were. Mm. And so he's making all these statements that insist that the reader say the opposite, so that you in your own mind have to say the truth, because it's not said in the poem, but it demands that you yourself say it as a reader.
Yeah, interesting. I wonder if there's a word for that, literary word for that, forcing you to think one thing, but saying another. I guess that's just...
I think that's called great poetry.
that's wonderful. The future, always the future, always forgetting that it will be the past, hard and hollow, veiled and humming. There are those bees again, or those wasps,
yep.
Soon enough. So he takes that image of the children looking for having fun, looking for the wasps in the wall and getting stung at it, and he amplifies that as the metaphor in a menacing way.
Yes, and it seems in some way like a happy scene of children playing together in a garden, but that's also where you get stung. I think there's an implication that perhaps when you've been stung so many times, it's hard to remember not knowing what it will happen when you stick your finger in the nest.
Stung by life.
I think so. And, yeah. You know, it's a sorrowful poem. He never uses the word sorrow, but he does use hollow and yellow and follow, all of which I think have an echo of the word sorrow, though he never uses it.
Yeah. All right. So what does this have to do with Thanksgiving?
Well, as I said earlier, I think that as much as I started out the introduction for this poem talking about playing under the table with my cousins, I also remember getting bonked in the head by one of my cousins and bitten by another.
Mm-hmm.
And as we all got older, having differences, some of us now have different political inclinations. And yet we did play under the table, and those cousins will always be my cousins.
Mm-hmm. So this poem brings you back to your days of playing as a child.
Yes.
Yeah.
At Thanksgiving.
There you go. There we made the connection.
Because I think that's why people go for family events. For me, I would go anyway, but I go because I want my children to be part of a large family and have cousins and aunts and uncles and grandparents and know that there's people of many different ages who love them and who are part of their history.
Well, I'm going to my in-laws' house for Thanksgiving. I'm wondering if I could just send the children.
And the wasp's nest.
And the wasp's nest. Idra Novi, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Idra Novi's latest collection of poems is Exit Civilian, part of the National Poetry Series published by the University of Georgia Press. Let us know what you think of this program. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The theme music for this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.